Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Long live the Queen. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
This is an ABC News special report.
And we are coming on the air with somber news from Buckingham Palace. Queen Elizabeth II has died.
On Ghost Town, we rarely do kind of timely episodes, episodes that feel like current events. Like sometimes we'll do, you know, a documentary review, but when it feels so new, it feels much more raw and less able to process and get the perspective of history. Now, today I'm changing that. It is September 8th. The day before your usually scheduled Ghost Town. And actually, I had a whole Juicy Friday about Dybbuk boxes for you, but I had to change that because I love royal history and just saw online that a statement from Buckingham Palace came out. And then, as I was recording this episode, I found out that Queen Elizabeth II has passed away. Now, the press release that I read maybe an hour ago said that the Queen's doctors are concerned for Her Majesty's health and have recommended she remain under medical supervision. The Queen remains comfortable at Balmoral. Now, I've been meaning to do an episode on what happens when the Queen dies, and I don't know, it just felt like it was finally time. A little dark, I know, but really fascinating. The monarchy is this profoundly efficient machine that works on checks and balances of rules and hierarchy. And it's what Queen Elizabeth loved. It's what she thrived on. It is truly incredible. So it's kind of memorializing her in this whole process. So today we're talking about the series of carefully constructed plans that happen, that will happen, that is happening currently when Queen Elizabeth II dies, a process called Operation London Bridge. Operation London Bridge, also known by its code name London Bridge Is Down, has been in place since the 1960s. Yes, back when the Queen was merely in her 40s. And it is a guide for how the monarchy will play out the next hours and days, the 10 days following the Queen's death. Some decisions within the plan have been made by the Queen herself at different points in her life, and some have been made by her successor, Charles, Prince of Wales, along with other royal advisors and strategists, including the Church of England, the British Armed Forces, the media, the Royal Parks, the Greater London Authority, and Transport for London. Lots of people are involved in this plan. Let's just give you, again, a very brief history of the Queen herself, who, again, whatever you think of the monarchy, is still pretty impressive. Elizabeth Alexandra Mary Windsor was born on April 21st, 1926. She met Prince Philip of Greece and Denmark, her second cousin once removed, and her third cousin through the iconic Queen Victoria, of course. They married in 1947 and had four kids, Charles, Anne, Andrew, and Edward. We could get into these kids and the dynamics around them in a different episode, but as you might imagine, complicated and fascinating. Okay, on June 2nd, 1953, at age 27, Elizabeth is officially coronated as Queen of England after her father, King George VI. She has ruled for longer than any other monarch in British history. She is known for her conservatism, her stability, and a devotion to a life of monarchical service. That rings a lot differently in the hours before she died when I wrote it to when I'm saying it right now. Operation London Bridge is updated every year and is described as, quote, planned to the minute with, quote, arcane and highly specific details. Operation London Bridge works concurrently with several plans, including Operation Springtide, the plan for her successor, Charles, to ascend to the throne. But we'll get to all those other plans and their great names after the break. So what exactly happens right now during the process, the beginning stages of Operation London Bridge and beyond? Let's get into it. So today will be known as D-Day. That's the day of the Queen's death. And each day after, until the funeral, which will take place on day 10, will be referred to as D+1, D+2, etc. At this point, the Queen's private secretary has already called the Prime Minister to inform her of the news, perhaps saying the plan's catchphrase, "London Bridge is down." At least, I hope somebody said the catchphrase. The royal household has issued an official statement informing the staff and the public of the Queen's death. We've gotten there. And I haven't checked, but once the news is confirmed, within 10 minutes, flags across Whitehall will be lowered to half-mast. The Ministry of Defense will arrange for gun salutes to take place, and a national minute of silence will be announced. According to an article in Bazaar, which had a lot of incredible information about Operation London Bridge, a service of remembrance will also be arranged at London's St. Paul's Cathedral. The Prime Minister will be the first official to make any live statement on Elizabeth's death. Then Prince Charles will address Great Britain himself. The background of the royal family's website will be black, and the UK government website will have a black banner on it. All of the social media avenues will also reflect that change. On the morning of D-Day plus one, Charles will be sworn in as the new sovereign by the Accession Council, which is a council of people that kind of process the change in monarchy. They meet 24 hours after a death and before Parliament and kind of arrange all of that. On D-Day plus two, the Queen's coffin is carried to Buckingham Palace. Now, she died at Balmoral Castle in Scotland, her Christmas home, where she was the past couple days, and that means Operation Unicorn will take effect. Operation Unicorn means that the Queen's coffin will be transported to London via royal train. Now, if Operation Unicorn isn't possible, Operation Overstudy will come into effect, which means the Queen's coffin will be transported by plane. On D-Day plus three through D-Day plus five, Charles will receive the motion of condolence at Westminster Hall and start his tour of the United Kingdom as the new sovereign. When in Northern Ireland, he'll go to St. Anne's Cathedral in Belfast for a ceremony. Meanwhile, back in London, Operation Lion will be in effect, in which the Queen's coffin will be transported from Buckingham Palace to the Palace of Westminster. When the coffin arrives, a service will be held. Then we get into D-Day plus six, through D-Day plus nine. Firstly, Operation Feather will take effect. That's the three-day process of the Queen Elizabeth's body being displayed and viewed for visitors to pay their respects. All of that happens at Westminster Hall. For 23 hours per day, the Queen will be able to be viewed by VIPs with tickets at designated time slots. Charles will then travel to Wales to receive another motion of condolence and attend a service at Llandaff Cathedral in Cardiff ahead of the Queen's funeral, which will take place the following day. That's D-Day plus 10. There, a state funeral led by the Archbishop of Canterbury will be held at Westminster Abbey. The Queen's body will be buried at King George VI Memorial Chapel in St. George's Chapel, Windsor Castle, alongside Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. As agreed by the Queen and the British Prime Minister, the day of the funeral will be declared a day of national mourning, although a bank holiday will not be granted. A two-minute silence will take place across the United Kingdom at midday. Now, of course, you know, things can change, but they probably won't. That's the beauty of British royalty. They are the masters of preparation and strategy and cool operation names. R.I.P. Queen Elizabeth II. Let's see Operation London Bridge through.
History is full of bizarre, unsolved mysteries. And over time, these stories have been bent by rumor, warped by social media, and twisted into legend. I'm Michael May. And on A Study of Strange, we dig into these real mysteries and seek the truth, as close as we can get anyway. Recently, we've covered true crime cases like the Greystone Mansion murder, the Red Lipstick Killer, and America's first reported serial killers. Of course, every now and then we also dive into the odd, esoteric, and paranormal, including vanishing people, haunted locations, and UFO history. So if you like your mysteries historical, or if you love a good debunking every now and then, search A Study of Strange wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, the truth is always stranger than fiction.